keep trying to get the high ground.
Like, weren't you guys kind of upset that he didn't say that in the fucking episode?
No, I'm not, actually. I'm happy. Everyone was expecting that. I'm happy they didn't read
it. I would have loved that he was like, so I have the high ground.
I wish he'd yelled out rock, paper, scissor when he threw a bunch of rocks.
I'm thinking he was pissed off that, like, everyone knew that he was thinking about it. So I'm purposely thinking, like, fuck this high ground shit. I'm throwing rocks at him and burying him.
Remember that time that he grazes his back with a lightsaber and he's just like, no big deal? That was badass.
He's Darth Vader. He has a shield.
Hello there, and welcome to the final episode of our six-part season of Three and a Half Gentlemen. Usually we're the podcast where three of the four hosts provide a refined and intellectual analysis of movies from our private collections, while one of us tries desperately to keep up. But as you may have noticed, we've spent the last 6 weeks diving into a show that premiered on Disney+. We'll still let you decide which host is the half, so sit back, relax, and join me and my most excellent co-hosts, Jeremiah.
I am what you made me, yo.
Eddie.
I will do what I must.
Brandon. And our special guest host from the 501st, Nathan.
I'm just an old clone trooper.
Yeah. Oh, that was good. That was good. Look at him.
Eddie.
Oh yeah, so just like normal. For that, my fault. I was just in this, you know, mist of the last episode. But just like normal, we will answer the core question of our podcast: how many drinks does it take to get through the episode we've just watched? Each episode will have its own individual score, and at the end of the six episode season, we'll combine those scores and divide by six to give you a series score.
More like 25, actually. However, we will still rate the episode based on a scale of 0 to 5.
Why do you keep saying 25? I don't think I'm the only one that's lost.
We got Nathan now. I got it.
But why 25?
It's 6 times 4. 6 times 4 is 24 different scores.
And now we got an extra one with Nathan.
You don't average the average score. You have to average all the single scores.
All of them individually.
25.
All right. Six episodes. I'm a lawyer, not a mathematician. Okay. Redo your thing.
I'm sorry. I'm laughing my ass off because I just saw what you put on. We'll still rate the episode based on a scale of 0 to 5. 0 being the perfect episode that you can watch a stone cold sober, and 5 being the sort of the episode that makes you want to bury your former best friend under a pile of rocks only to send the force flowing through him, returning him to full strength so he fucks you up something fierce.
Yeah.
Brandon. Bullshit. Tonight we complete this entry into our Star Wars saga with the sixth and final episode of Obi-Wan Kenobi. Not only does this episode close out a beautiful story that needed to be told in the Star Wars universe, but it also gave us a Kenobi-Anakin duel that challenges Duel of the Fates and even the Battle of the Heroes for the most impactful and, I would say, badass lightsaber battle in Star Wars history. This episode also brought us full circle and completed the story of a rogue inquisitor, a farm boy who just needed to be a boy and want to get the fucking motivator, and new respect for an adopted mother and father who will do anything to protect their son. Which I have probably.
This R2 unit's got a bad motivator.
Yeah, I mean, come on now.
All right, let's start the review. Let's get into this, because I think that the expectations, to say the expectations weren't incredibly high for this episode, is a lie. I was very excited about how they were going to close it out. I was very nervous about how they were going to close it out. I speculated last week that they were going to leave it on some sort of a cliffhanger, that they were going to bring in some other shows. And I think that they did the right thing. They stuck to the formula. This was an Obi-Wan show. They gave us an Obi-Wan ending. And I think that by and large, it hit all the notes that, you know, that it was supposed to hit.
It did.
Brandon, why don't you take us?
Yeah. So, I mean, okay. So I want to clear something up. According to IMDb, and I think we can trust IMDb, it's showing that this is the one and only season. So I don't think we're going to get a season 2. And honestly, I want to kind of throw this out to you guys. I don't want a season 2 after this episode. I feel like it
just like
out.
You to trust the establishment, Brandon. Just trust in the establishment. Just, you know, oh, I
do you
be.
Do you want? But do
I
you?
Think we might get
what,
some
would
cameos
you really want
for
one
Obi-Wan.
After it? We might get cameos, but we're not going to get a season 2.
I just read something today that Obi-Wan's was supposed to be actually made in like three part of a film or something like that. And they probably got rid of it, the whole situation, because of like the whole Solo movie winning, you know, not performing well. But I read something that was supposed to be like a trilogy type of a film about Obi-Wan's story, which would have been, you know, pretty cool, but this episode was pretty fucking spot on. So,
well, when you think about it, six one-hour episodes.
Yeah, you know what? Going into this, I was looking forward to a season two, because I'd heard rumors also that they were looking to do that. But after this episode, no, I don't want to see a season two. I agree with Brian.
You don't?
Yeah. See, Sean?
Would you want to see Obi-Wan maybe in a couple of different other series?
Yes and no.
If they did a flashback like in Ahsoka, maybe, but to continue
that would
on,
be dope.
What else could they do with Obi-Wan? They pretty much told the story they wanted to.
Other than doing a live action Clone Wars TV show where you have like legitimate story development, but we've already had that. We don't need another Clone Wars TV show. I sort of been in agreement there. If Ahsoka gives us flashbacks, if we see him pop up in other shows, I would love to see Anakin pop up in other shows. I'd love to see Obi-Wan and Andor. I think they're going to do a Princess Leia show, and not necessarily focus on Princess Leia, but we need to see more of her. I think you could pop him in and out.
Well, I mean, if Hayden's going to be in Ahsoka.
Yeah, he is signed up for Ahsoka.
Ooh.
Oh, Hayden is. Hayden.
Yes. Yeah, they have, Brandon, they have history. They have a lot of history.
Yeah. So here's my thing. Here's my thing is that ultimately this sets up the story for Ben Obi-Wan being the hermit that we know and love in episode four, which was my whole problem with him being like, the worker bee that he was in the first episode of this series. Right now he's going to go in hiding. So literally another season or even Eddie, I don't think we're going to see a whole lot of like nowadays cameos from him because he's going to be living in his cave and watching Luke. Like that's what we're going to have. And he's learning a whole lot behind.
He's learning a Jedi skill that's lost also, you know.
Right, so you're not going to see him just blow up a bunch of rocks with his mind.
Oh, I agree.
That's not going to be fun.
You might be surprised, but I actually agree with you and the rest of the crew so far. Like, I don't really think another series of Obi-Wan will. There's not enough there. Everyone knows the next step is like, what is he going to do? Go on an adventure of Luke Skywalker and Princess Leia and then reunite them and maybe see Anakin one last time before he dies? Like, oh, wait, that's New Hope.
So that absolutely settles it. It absolutely settles it. There will be a season two of Obi-Wan.
It's called A New Hope.
The selfish me wants to have another season.
Well, no, you're going to get it because I'm sure this is the highest rated Disney Plus Star Wars show. It's going to, I mean, watch it go. After we have Ahsoka, after we have Andor, after they give us all these other stuff, they're going to go back to the well. And they're going to go, okay, one more Obi-Wan, six more episodes. You know, let's throw them into something else and we'll see what happens. Jeremiah.
Let's talk about the opening sequence. Didn't you guys kind of have like a New Hope vibe? How the Star Destroyer was just kind of like creeping in, actually chasing that starship, the cargo thing.
It brought us back to what Star Wars is, right? It brought us back to every good Star Wars. We have that chase, right? And I think that, what this did is it did the same thing, Sean, that you were saying since the beginning, is it gave us that complete transition into episode 4, 5, 6, right? It gives us the backstory that we need to know. But what I love about it is that they returned it to where it should have been. I mean, I have my beef with this episode and we'll talk about it later, but I think that from the first shot, really throughout his character development in that sixth episode, I think it was on point to turning him into the Alec Guinness that we know Obi-Wan to be. That said, I don't know how he ages so much in fucking 10 years.
I think it also makes Vader, you see him, I mean, like, it kind of like goes hand in hand with both of those characters developing, with Vader is older in New Hope, right? And now you kind of have an idea like, oh, maybe because he's been having like 1,000 rots through on him and he almost died in this episode, right? So you get the idea of like he's been beat up a couple times now, but Rogue One, you see him like still badass. It's just that you see the end of the 4, 5, 6 series of him like, okay, he's been through so much. Now you kind of see also this gives a little bit more context of Vader's been, he's struggling on, even though he has this breathing tube.
Well, and I think what this episode, this season really did is it allowed Vader to go out into the universe and be Vader in other shows. Like, I could see him being Vader in Andor. I can see him being Vader in Ahsoka. I can see him being Vader just in any show, being the presence that he always has been. And now it's not forced. He's a badass Jedi. He can send out his Inquisitors. I would like a show just on the Inquisitors, even though I talk shit on the Inquisitors the whole season of Obi-Wan. Yeah. I would like to know more about him. I would like to know more about that. You know, I know in Clone Wars we got you know, the Dark Sisters or whatever that we got a little bit of kind of the Rebels, path, yeah, of the, yeah, in Rebels. But I want to know more about the dark side, and I think that this show kind of said, okay, Vader's back. We're going to see a little bit more dark side.
Yeah.
Hey, Nathan, question to ask you. Doesn't, like, Vader hate the Inquisitors? Like, he literally wants to take them out all the time. He just actually finds them, like, more repulsive than anything than Jedis and whatnot?
Yeah, he doesn't like them. If you look at the comics, he really doesn't like any of them, even from the Grand Inquisitor to all the sisters and brothers. But one thing about Vader in this show, this is – since I was a little kid, this is the first time he scared me.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Right there. Yeah.
Yeah. When he, yeah, this is, and the other, if you look at 5 and 6, yeah, he was scary. But in this one, he freaked me out on this one.
Which episode was that? Episode 3.
3.
Yeah. That's the one that's like, oh.
Yeah, he was like Jason, like Michael Myers, yeah, in that.
Well, and, so scary, and I think, dude, I do think we got to focus a little bit, you know, on the lightsaber battle, because that seemed to be the heartbeat of the episode. And
yeah,
one of the things that I said earlier in the podcast, when they had their first confrontation, Ben looked older. He looked not as prepared. He was, you know, he was not Obi-Wan Kenobi. He was more, you know, old
he
Ben.
Out of retirement.
Right. Yeah. And in this,
9 to 5 Ben.
Butcher Ben. In this episode, you kind of had a resurgence of, oh shit, he's got the Force back. He's going to actually go after Darth Vader in a way that, you know, is a little bit more aggressive and a little bit more realistic to his character. Jeremiah?
Question, guys. Do you guys feel like Obi-Wan, a lot of people say that in Revenge of the Sith is like his prime, but after this battle with Darth Vader, you see more of a powerful Obi-Wan, like he's just finding his like, the, you know, balance of the Force type of way. Do you guys feel like he is more powerful now because of what he's able to actually open up to the Force? Or do you feel like, you know, he's past his prime?
Yeah, I think honestly, it's a little bit of, he's got a little bit more unrestrained power that he hasn't kind of allowed himself to contain in this episode. And I think we see that especially when he has that like epiphany moment when he remembers back to Leia and she kind of sparks, yeah, that thing in him. Mm-hmm. So I think that what we see is not a weaker or a stronger Ben, but or Obi-Wan, but more of a, like I said, unrestrained and just kind of volatile. It just kind of goes everywhere without him really being able to contain it as well as he did in episodes 1, 2, 3 and then in episode 4.
Is anyone a basketball? Eddie. Is anyone a basketball? A little bit guru. I compare this. It's going to be, some of you might not like it, but I compare Revenge of the Sith Obi-Wan to Kobe Bryant number 8, and this other Obi-Wan Kenobi as Kobe Bryant number 24. So equally, both as good, but one is young.
I see what you're saying.
And one is more mature, and the one that's more mature, he learns more about himself and he grows from it in order to become the best and to like live on. He doesn't also, that Kobe Bryant or this Obi-Wan learns that he doesn't need to be power. He's not looking for power. He's looking, yeah, for other things.
Obi-Wan learns to pass the ball. You're right.
Yes. Yeah. Good job. Just, he needs teammates. He needs other people to involve. He, so he steps away from Luke Skywalker and doesn't want to hover over him as much. He's going to learn to step away a little bit and learn more about himself.
Nathan?
Well, if you look at Obi-Wan when they first introduced him, I mean, he was downbeat. He had a lot of guilt. And then when they ended this, yeah, he became who he was supposed to be. He is Obi-Wan. Like Darth Vader said on the bridge, he's like, he's not no ordinary Jedi. Mm-hmm. And it's true. And he showed who he was. And this goes to episode 4, where you see him walking around with a lightsaber. You know, before that, Jedis were trying to hide their lightsabers and who they were. And then you see him walking around with a lightsaber. And what gave him the confidence to do that? It was this.
I have a question to all you guys. Because I thought this lightsaber battle was probably one of the top 3 of all time. I'm just saying, because
I agree.
You see Obi's skills and his, like, it looked like a dance to the death.
they were holding hands, you know, kind of like just like
so doing close like this to each other of, like, at so many different times.
It was like a hand to hand combat lightsabering battle. Yeah. What is your favorite lightsaber battle in the Star Wars saga?
So I'm gonna answer the last question you asked and this one in the same vein, because I think that this Obi-Wan in this show was more Force centric. He learned how to connect with the Force more than he's ever connected with the Force before. And while he was always described as more a better lightsaber, you know, the best lightsaber and the best connection with the Force, I think that he never used the Force in the previous trilogies the way he used the Force in this one. He yeah. never embraced the Force, mm-hmm. You know, like he did here. So it was so fun to watch him just use the Force and attack Vader in a way that was relentless. It was like him or me, and I'm going down in Revenge of the Sith, when you had that great battle of the heroes in Mustafa, I felt like he was holding back. Here, he wasn't holding back. So that the raw passion he had here to try and defeat Anakin, I think, made this my favorite. I really do.
This is your favorite.
Well, Duel of the Fates has the best lightsaber battle with fucking Maul and the double lightsaber. That shit's badass. This one, though, it really does take my heart, because you saw a raw Anakin, like, I'm going to either die or I'm going to freaking kill him. Like, that's just what's going to happen. So, Brandon, I know you had your hand
up. Yeah, so I'm like a little student in the classroom. So, I mean, I'm going to literally go classic. And to me, there's nothing better than seeing Luke wrestle with the good and the dark sides in that final battle with Darth. You got Emperor Palpatine. I mean, I think the Return of the Jedi is going to always be the best lightsaber battle, not because it's the best choreographed, not because it's the best realistic, but because of what it kind of signifies for the whole scope
and those
of the
visuals.
Story. Oh, the darkness, and you've got the smirk
and the music,
of Emperor
the,
Palpatine. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think
if you notice on the lightsaber, if you notice on this battle, they mirrored the flashback that they did. There was that whole battle was mirrored with this battle here, including their back to back. Instead of Anakin twirling the lightsabers, you have Obi-Wan twirling the lightsabers.
Which was so badass.
It's a mirror of that flashback. Yes. Yeah.
Question for you guys. Do you think Obi-Wan was trying to awaken Anakin's soul by using the same technique that he had with his lightsabering skills?
It's a nice
idea. It looked
idea.
Like he was using the same type of
nice
style.
Nice idea, but I don't think,
nice
I think
idea,
he just learned from Anakin. I think Obi-Wan is a student of the Force. Like you can learn something from being younger or older. He took something from Anakin back at that fight, the first fight, Revenge of the Sith, and he was using moves that Anakin did on him. And I think Anakin was surprised with that later. It was like, oh, okay, like this is, he's actually doing something
it looks
different.
Like he was
it's not
having
the same
fun.
Fight like how we always do. Yeah.
Well, it did. It looked like Obi-Wan was having fun, but I think to Nathan's point, it was the mirror. It was showing, hey, young one, you aren't the best lightsaber person. I am. I could take your tricks and I can use them against you. And now I have a reason. Now I have a passion to fight you and I have a passion to kill you. I felt like Obi-Wan had the upper hand once he accepted the Force. Once he like got out of the pit of rocks, he was like, it's over, bro. I'm going to kill you. Like that's how it's going to be. But then, as I said from the very beginning of this show, this season is about redemption and it's personal redemption. And you get probably the best lines of Star Wars, except for Luke, I am your father, which is, you know, I'm sorry for everything. And Vader / Anakin says, you didn't kill me. You know, I wasn't your failure. I'm not your mark. I am who I am. So Jeremiah,
I got two questions on that. There's a part right there where I literally got in tears when I saw this part, when Obi looks at him and he goes, my friend is truly dead. And it's the same type of line that Luke gave to Vader in Return of the Jedi, where he's like, then my father's truly dead. Because, you know, what he was talking about, like Obi-Wan, you know, thought as you do, you know, and everything like that. And it mirrored that moment right there. And it just broke my heart. Two, Eddie, what was your favorite lightsaber battle? And Nathan, I didn't get yours up, by the way.
Oh, sorry. Favorite lightsaber battle. I'm gonna let Nathan go first.
You gotta bully your way in because I'll talk all day.
I'm gonna let Nathan go with his lightsaber battle first. Go ahead, Nathan.
Mine has to be the Phantom Menace between Obi-Wan and Maul. that when the Rey comes up and Obi-Wan charges him, mm-hmm. and there's no music, the lightsabers are the music. That to me, that's the best battle.
Nice.
I like that. Hello, a lot.
That's a good one.
Oh, God. Eddie's just going to say that one, too.
That's a good one.
I can't pick one. I can't pick one. No. It's too hard for me to pick one. So I'm going to go ahead and pick Vader fucking everyone up on Road One. Just that one.
So I'm gonna guess what Jeremiah's is. Just
go
off
for
the
it.
Top of my head.
Go for
Ahsoka,
it.
Ahsoka v. Maul in Clone Wars.
Fucking know me. Get out of my brain.
Hey, did anyone...
How the fuck did you know that? Holy shit.
That's pretty impressive.
That's why I am the host, Jeremiah.
So,
anyone,
going back to what Jeremy said about when Obi-Wan was talking to Anakin about saying, I'm sorry, Anakin, for all of it. And then Anakin was saying, or Vader saying, I'm not your failure, Obi-Wan. You didn't kill Anakin Skywalker. I did. You saw the color of the face switch, right? When he was at first, when Anakin was talking to Obi-Wan as Anakin almost, it seemed like, you didn't kill Anakin Skywalker, Obi-Wan. Like, you didn't fail Obi-Wan. And you saw, like, a blueness. They say that you see a blueness in his eyes. Like, he's trying to fight this evil inside him. And then towards the end, you see it turn red. I did. And then you see all of a sudden it just takes over his body again. And he has this hate in his body. Do you guys, what do you think about that? Do you think that's on purpose, or was that just...
Oh, no, 100% on purpose. Yeah. But this is my criticism of Star Wars, is that you never really got the emotional shift of young Anakin going into Darth Vader as much as this show has given us. This show has rewritten or it, like I said, I'm going to repeat myself. What Rogue One did to Episode 4, giving that giving Leia context in getting the plans, this show has given context to Vader becoming, or Anakin becoming Vader, and the relationship between Obi-Wan and Anakin, and how hard that relationship was from the beginning. And I just think that, you know, George Lucas should have just given up directing. And I'm really upset, because Episode 1, 2, and 3 could have been
and writing
magnificent. And instead, they were just shadowy reflections of what they could have been. And the story was so freaking good.
I don't think it's
so sad.
It's not as bad as everyone thinks. 1, 2, and 3, I think is actually better than, if you look back at it, you appreciate it a little bit more.
Brandon, no.
It is better than 7, 8, 9.
Nathan, get an outside opinion. Nathan.
So if you look at that battle, that scene right there where he cuts off that part of the mask, I was thinking about this after watching it. And if you go back to Episode 2, Anakin's talking to Padme and she's asking him about if Jedi are allowed to love, and he's like, no, but you could say that kind of what we do is love. And Revenge of the Sith, Obi-Wan tells Anakin, I love you. You were my brother. And when he cuts that lightsaber and he sees Anakin again, and he gets all that emotion.
Love it.
That's one thing that Anakin never fully grasped, is that, yes, you know, what Obi-Wan felt for me was beyond what a Jedi is supposed to be. You know, they're not supposed to love, but Obi-Wan is telling Anakin, hey, I loved you. You were my brother. And that part, just like you, Jeremy, that part, I got welled up too.
Yeah.
I'll tell you something after Brandon
here. Greatly said. Yeah. I love it.
No, So one of the things that I love, and I love the intricacies and kind of the subtleties and the subtext that you see in films. And one of the things, and Eddie, this kind of goes to what you're saying about the blue light and the red light, is the voice, the vocals, right? You have Anakin's voice coming in, and then then Darth Vader's voice taking over. And it was like they were battling back and forth and back and forth.
Yes.
And to me, that was one of the greatest technical things that maybe a lot of people won't really notice or care about. But man, it says everything there. He's still battling with himself. And we see that battle continue all the way through till Return of the Jedi, when he finally allows Anakin to come back.
Just to piggyback on everything about the ending part, and what really got to me in this part is the ending when Obi walks away from Anakin and you hear two voices. You hear Vader screaming in anger, but you also hear Anakin and I swear to you, man, he's like trying to break through Vader. You know, and he's like almost crying for help. Yep. He's like, Obi-Wan, and you hear
two different vibes, and you're like, you have so much sorrow for Anakin that you feel like, shit, he is dying for help, you know, and he's lost forever.
It was that moment, that mercy, very much like Bilbo showing Gollum mercy in the cave, that led to the actual ending of Palpatine, or what we thought was the ending of Palpatine in, you know, in Return of the Jedi. This moment created Anakin's salvation. So I don't necessarily think that, that you can put this in a box and say this was Vader's downfall. I think this was the road to Vader's recovery. Without this scene, you don't have a Luke scene where Luke says, you know, my father is truly dead. And then Vader's reaction and realization that, no, Luke loves me just the way that Obi-Wan loved me, and that there's my path back. And I think that mirrors that mirror that even Nathan was touching on, that is the redemption of Vader. We're so used to having a good redeemed Vader that we forget how fucked up he was.
Do or do not, there is no try, my young apprentice.
I feel like it's so sad when you think about, like, there's two people that love them the most, and it was Ahsoka and Obi-Wan, and both of them,
and Padme.
Yeah, but both of these two people damaged Darth Vader. I mean, Rebels, he took the other part of Vader's face, you know, and she saw the true Anakin, you know, it's like Anakin behind the mask, just like what Obi-Wan did in this one. And it's just really sad when you think about it, like these two people that love them so much, you know. And there's a great quote that someone actually mentioned about, like, just his story is like the boy who lost his mother, a husband who lost his wife, and a man who lost his soul. That's the story of Anakin. And it's so sad until he gets redemption.
Not to bring in other franchises, but if you look at the character, and I think we could spoil this one, if you look at the character of Severus Snape, okay? Severus Snape was what Vader could have been, character emotional depth-wise, probing and doing all this different stuff. And you missed it in the Star Wars universe because you didn't have a strongly directed and acted episode 1, 2, and 3. However, that being said, I believe that Hayden Christensen is vindicated for his role as Anakin. And I think that the joke, you know, they replaced him in the recut of episode Return of the Jedi. They put his Force Ghost there at the end, right? I believe with this show, and if he continues on his path of the way he's done, I think he's earned that position as the Force Ghost in Return of the Jedi.
He played the awkward teenager pretty well, because he was awkward in Attack of the Clones and just like, I'm trying to grow up and I love you. Like, he played that. He did what he was told. It wasn't him all the way.
Hayden Christensen is a great actor. Yeah. If you ever want to see a role that Hayden Christensen was born to play, it was Life is a House. You know, Brandon, I don't ruin you when you bring up your favorite fucking movies,
Can we talk about one thing?
The Mountain.
How many times do you guys think Vader saved Luke Skywalker?
Saved?
Yeah, I know.
What?
Yeah. He didn't just save Luke Skywalker with Palpatine. I think there was another chance where Palpatine wanted to – I think the Palpatine's very strong – stronger than we think. I think Palpatine was inside Vader at times. This part of the episode where we saw Vader and Luke talk, not Luke, but Obi-Wan talking, I got a feeling of he wasn't just Anakin. It was also Palpatine was inside him. You realize at times Palpatine can, I mean, look at the very end of the last movie, the episode 9, where he can, he got into Rey, right?
Okay. So you've unlocked a question though. Okay. So if Vader knew about the second sister, seventh sister, what was her?
Third sister. I don't know.
Fourth sister. Okay, hold on. If he knew about her and he was essentially all-knowing about what's going on and could feel everyone, and he felt Obi-Wan, is it plausible to think that he stopped searching for Obi-Wan because he felt the presence of what Obi-Wan was hiding? Is it possible? I'm just asking.
Nathan, what do you think?
If you look at the comics, Vader finds out from Boba Fett that Luke is his son. Ooh. He sends Boba Fett on the journey to try to find out.
I like it. See, that's some of that 501st stuff that I didn't know.
You know, he wants to find out who destroyed his Death Star. Boba Fett comes back to him. He's like, all I have is just a name, Skywalker. And at that moment, Vader finds out. He says right after that, I have a son. At that moment, he realizes that he has a son out there. If you watch Empire Strikes Back, at that point, Palpatine finds out that that Luke is Anakin's son. You know, at what point does he find out? Right before that transmission, we don't know. But he tells him that, hey, you know, the son of Skywalker is out there. And Vader, in return, is kind of acting dumb, like, oh, do you think he's this? Do you think he's that? You know, and so, yes, Vader is, like you said, Eddie, Vader does try to protect Luke in some ways.
So looking back, it was pretty reckless and stupid for Luke Skywalker to use the fucking name Skywalker.
He didn't know.
As his name.
How would he know?
Well, I don't know. Ben, tell him. How about Uncle Owen, Aunt Beru, anyone fucking
Ben,
tell him. Hey,
Ben's the one that messed up in A New Hope. Ben's the one. Ben messed up. He's like, I knew who killed your dad.
Brandon, go ahead.
Okay, so this kind of opens up the door for my frustrations for this episode, but also for this season. And so I want to kind of throw this out there and shit on it or agree with it. I don't care. So one of my biggest problem is that this kind of disrupts the characterizations of the different characters that we see in episode 4, right? That Luke is bitching about how Tatooine is the most boring place in the face of the galaxy. And we have this intense, you know, standoff where he basically was captured and taken hostage and run away. I just don't know if he would be sitting there going like, oh, this is boring. And I know that we're talking 10 years later, but at the same time, to me, what happens to Luke in this episode doesn't translate into the Luke that we become. Same thing. Owen Lars is boring as fuck, right? I don't see him going around with a blaster and brew.
Yeah.
Come on, let's no, we don't. So here's my thing.
Oh, see, I love that.
I think that what this does is this tries to give, and it does a great job on basically 99%, is that it tries to give us context for episode 4. But what it does in a lot of ways is it destroys Luke's storyline, right? The Luke that we first meet.
Go ahead and meet yourself.
Nip that in the bud. Wait till your son is 15 years old and everything is fucking boring.
Well, I get
then
you.
We'll have a conversation about this episode. But Jeremiah, expound upon that. Beru, you were shaking your head. Beru and Owen,
I actually really enjoy that because it shows what a mother does to protect, you know, a son of theirs. And she felt like Luke was her son and she would do anything that she needed to do on that. And you definitely see a different side of Beru on that. And I really enjoy the shit out of that. You know, a mother will protect its own cub, you know.
What about the bullshit of Reva, of course, changing her mind right at the last second? That was stupid.
Let's not jump ahead there for a second, though. Let's focus on, you said that Uncle Ben was boring and Uncle Ben. Oh, God.
I know. I did the same thing. Spider-Man. Oh, yeah, I know.
Uncle Owen is boring and bad with a blaster. Yeah, he's a fucking moisture farmer, which I still don't know what that is, but he's terrible. He runs around with like this weapon. He doesn't know what to do with it.
He didn't even know he had a weapon. He didn't even know he had a weapon. Like,
where'd you get these, Beru? I traded for moisture evaporators. Anyway, but Beru was the one who kind of came out and was like, let's go. Let's defend the house. But there was a couple of scenes throughout this season where I'm not doing it for you, Obi-Wan, I'm doing it for the kid. Like, he was Luke's father and he was trying to keep Luke away from everything that could have been dangerous, and that is parenthood. And so I do think that it casts a little bit of context with Uncle Owen. I think that the smoldering ruins of the house and them burnt in front, you know, it creates a new emotion when you see that in episode in New Hope. Four, yeah. When you see them dead, you know, okay, we didn't really get to know them that much in New Hope, and now you do know them. You do know that they were probably fighting till the fucking end to defend Luke against, you know, the
Empire.
The Empire, and that they would rather die and be burned alive than to tell them where Luke was. So, and that, to me, that's more powerful than what it was before.
So just wondering, going back to the very beginning of this episode, Brandon, I'm agreeing with you. At the very beginning of this episode, you know how when they asked Vader, like, the Grand Inquisitors, like, bro, like, let's not go after this guy. Let's just kill the rebellion right now. right? Let's just end the whole and end of series. And then Vader's like, no, I want to go after him. Wouldn't you just send like, I mean, how many different ships? How many different ships are in this big ship, right? Vader's ship. There's
really a big ship.
How about we split up? All right. How about we have like, we send a couple like 100 stormtroopers with these guys following them. And then we follow Obi-Wan. End of story. You get both. That was one of my things that I was like, oh, come on, just send both ships.
I love that.
Cool to, like, yeah. let's use real tactics. And that was, I kind of was iffy about that. I was like, why not just send another ship, and a bounty hunter, anyone? You could have done anyone right there and just use someone.
The problem is that if you saw in the last couple episodes, Vader actually kind of overplayed his cards and he actually didn't see the whole picture of it. And that's the reason why that he failed. And it's the reason why the Emperor was like questioning at the end of it, you know, like, yo, are you legit? Do you still have feelings and shit, you know?
Well, he does have feelings, obviously.
So, Nathan, did you expect to see Emperor Palpatine again?
No, not at all. I was not. I was shocked when they showed the image, the hologram, and Vader talking. I thought he was talking to the Grand Inquisitor or somebody else, but I was not expecting it to be Palpatine. But going real quick back to Uncle Owen, I don't know if you guys caught this or not, but when he falls and hurts his leg, he's walking with a limp after that. If you look at episode 4, he's walking with a limp in episode 4. Mm-hmm. I thought that was kind of neat how they put those two things together.
And who is Uncle Owen?
Like the
Nathan, who's Uncle Owen? I don't think none of us actually talked about it earlier.
So if you go back and you read the original story of Star Wars that was written for A New Hope, Owen is supposed to be Obi-Wan's brother.
Oh, what the fuck?
What?
Yeah, yes. A big oops by us.
So I'm sorry.
What?
Yeah.
Yes.
So when Obi-Wan's talking to Leia about his brother, that's actually Owen?
We don't know.
My mind is exploding right now.
What their canon is now. You know, it could be Owen or somebody else, but that was kind of shocking that they brought that in to this show, knowing what that backstory was, that Owen was supposed to be Ben's or Obi-Wan's brother.
That's,
well, they have equally that's impressive
crazy
beards.
Shit right there, yo.
Equally impressive beards. I mean,
that's unbelievable, man.
And then where is Vader's castle pointing to? This is another thing that I didn't know about this.
Yeah, so if you were he's episode, looking yeah. out from his throne, it's actually overlooking the final battle between him and Obi-Wan where he got burned. And it's kind of like a reminder to him of that. Of that,
that
anger
hate,
that he has.
Man, for yeah, life right there. Hey, Nathan, yeah. I got a question to ask you. So you're saying that the 501st was in this particular limited series, right?
Correct. In episode 5, when Reva has those stormtroopers with her and they're trying to get that door, that blast or whatever door down, that is the 501st. And they brought them in specifically because the 501st is Vader's fist, is his own personal garrison. So Reva is taking Vader's personal garrison with her to get Obi-Wan. So they brought in the 501st for that.
There's a picture going on online with the 501st with like taking a picture with Anakin. Is that like, is that them?
No, just one of the members. He's actually in the Book of Boba Fett too. You know, that part where the Mandalorian, they first bring back the Mandalorian. Mm-hmm. He goes into like that butcher shop and the head crime lord that he's talking to, that's the same person.
Dude.
And he's a stunt man and for Hollywood in real life. So he's used for a lot of stuff, but he's also a member of the 501st too.
So for people who are listening and don't know what the 501st is, can you give us like a little bit of a description and what you guys do and kind of it's a really cool organization and we're really happy to give you some context about why Nathan's here.
Yeah, so the 501st is just a group of people who first and foremost passionate for Star Wars, but we do a lot of charity work. We do a lot of charity work for children's hospitals, awesome. For Make-A-Wish, different organizations out there. and it's great. It's fun. I mean, it's exciting to look next to you and you have Darth Vader and then you have a stormtrooper next to you. And that's kind of surreal all the time. Yeah. But it's a great organization to be a part of.
And you guys build your costumes yourselves and
armor.
Yes.
Okay. Armor, gear,
armor, yeah. Costumes. Armor, excuse me. I'm sorry.
Just cosplay. What's
real
up?
Stuff.
Yeah. We get different parts, like different kits and different parts from all over. And we have to paint them, put them together.
Is that real stuff you buy from the actual like movie sets possibly?
I'm sure some people have stuff, but nothing that I have. But you have a great community, too. Everybody's helping each other out. Like, for example, I ran into a person at the grocery store. I had my 501st sweater on, and he was asking me questions. He's trying to build a Death Trooper. And I was like, yeah, here, go to our forums and find out when we have a build party and come join us. People will help you out.
Fucking cool.
So it's a community of, you know, like you said, people who love Star Wars, who, you know, build their armor. And then, and you guys have gotten a lot of opportunity to go. I know you were on the first season of Mandalorian. You know, the 501st
myself,
was a big part of that.
The 501st,
Yeah. Was a big part of that. And then, you know, like you said, you're a book of your group, Book of Boba Fett. One, at least one person was on that. And then this show, Obi-Wan Kenobi. So it's kind of, it's interesting for us. It's like being starstruck a little bit because we're envious of your position.
You're like a retired veteran in my eyes, bro. I'm not gonna lie. imagine you got this Band of Brothers stuff. It's kind of cool that the 501st. I don't want to, I mean, obviously it's different, but I'm just saying, like, imagine like the Death Star. And everyone goes home after a long work day, and you know, you spend 20 years in the service, and you're stormtroopers, and it's like this cool. It's so cool to be part of that.
If you went to a bar, he would never have to buy a drink. I'm just saying.
Love it. Thank you.
I wish that was true.
maybe on Tatooine.
Okay, so my armor that I have is a clone trooper, and I'm part of the wolf pack that is in the Clone Wars. There's four. Shit. There's Wolf. There's Boost. There's Comet, which is minus Comet. And so if you look at the other Wolfpack members, they all have the Wolfpack symbol. And they kind of they all resemble each other. Well, Comet is different. If you look at Comet's design, his design is unique. And I search and I search and I could not find anything of where the design came from or what it meant. So when Bad Batch, at the premiere of Bad Batch, the Lucasfilm had invited the 501st to go up to Lucasfilm itself to go watch the Bad Batch premiere.
Holy
and
shit.
So Dave Filoni was there along with some of the other cast. And afterwards, I went up to Dave Filoni and I had my helmet with him and I was like, I'm with me. And I said, Dave, okay, I've been wearing Comet for a few years and I can't not find anything to what this means on his helmet. So he gets the helmet and he gets it for a second and he looks at it and he's like, well, I had a dog named Comet. Oh. And he had these markings like that on his head. So I fashioned Comet after my dog. And everybody there was blown away because we were getting something exclusive that was not written, not said, not mentioned anywhere.
So badass.
That Comet, the clone trooper Comet, was made fashioned after his dog. And this is what those markings mean.
Oh, that's so cool. So,
yeah.
I mean, just for you to be able to say, I walked up to Dave Filoni. Yeah.
Everything about the whole conversation just made me give me a big deal. So. I love it.
You went up to the man that saved Star Wars, right? Man. Yeah. Thank you.
Him and John Favreau are the people.
You made me cry right now.
Oh, man. That is badass.
That's badass.
Well, yeah, it was cool.
Thank you for sharing that, because that's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
So I will say, Eddie, have you ever seen the Eddie Izzard is a comedian and he does the Star Wars canteen where Darth Vader goes in and like, cause on the Death Star, you know, they've got to eat lunch. Right. And so they go to this Star Wars canteen and it is the most single 5 minutes of hilarity that is about Darth Vader trying to order lunch and the penne pasta Oliveira. If anyone has not heard that skit and wants to really get into it, Eddie Izzard is the comedian's name. He's freaking hysterical. And he has a couple of Star Wars jokes that are hysterical.
Hey, Brandon,
yo,
got a question to ask you. I was watching this whole episode, and in the back of my mind, I'm like, oh, shit, Qui-Gon is not going to be on this fucking episode. And I thought, like, seriously, to the last minute when he said, hello there, I'm like, oh, that's how it's going to end it. That's fucking great. I'm like, fuck, Brandon must be so fucking pissed off. And then it just cut to the him walking. I'm like, oh, Brandon, this is redemption.
And how
Brandon,
fucking good did Liam Neeson look? Oh, my God. He looked just like him. That was like, it was like he died and he hadn't aged anymore. No, I gotta be honest, dude. I was sitting here like, how am I gonna try to cover my ass on this one with I don't owe you guys my entire life savings that I bet. But no, I mean, so in a lot of ways, I don't know, I'm gonna throw this out to you guys too, but in a lot of ways I wanted it to end when Vader clicks off with Emperor and he's just looking at him kind of at the throne. You know, sets it up for like the evil that's to come, you know, and that kind of that prologue that we have, or the epilogue that we have with, you know, with Obi-Wan going and visiting Leia. Like, to me, I was like, oh God, we just had this huge emotional high, and now
like,
we're
stop. Yeah.
But then when we get Qui-Gon come in and they just walk off, it's that beautiful, you know, that idea, that Western idea of going off into the sunset reminds me of Indiana Jones, Last Crusades, right? It's this idea that they're going off because there's more to be done. And so that redeemed that last 7 minutes to me, that felt a little bit forced.
See, And one of the things that I do not like about TV shows, and I am a TV show watcher, is that they don't give the episode time to recover from the event. And I texted all of you. I said, you know, we were 30 minutes in or 28 minutes in. I was like, holy shit, 28 minutes and you had your climax. What the, you know, we still have 20 minutes of the episode left. What are you going to do? And what they did is they went, okay, we're going to take a breath and we're going to wind up or wrap up all the little story parts and give Obi-Wan a true finishing note. So that if this is the last
time you see Ewan McGregor as
Obi-Wan, You have a great taste in your mouth. He has a wonderful scene with Leia.
That was beautiful. I love that one.
On Alderaan, just a fucking, just beautifully written, emotional heartbeat. Great. Then you have another great scene with him and Luke. And he gets to, you know, Luke, I don't think Luke even says anything. It doesn't matter.
He was like Star Trek. Like,
well, it, yeah, like, just like, hi,
hi, like, hi, man.
But you had like that finishing, oh, so you're actually going to have a relationship with this boy. It might be limited, but you're going to, at least this is the first time you meet him. And then you've got that finishing little sip of wine, that little port in your glass with Obi-Wan Kenobi meeting Qui-Gon Jinn.
Yep. And that was so good.
It's just, I love what he said. You know, I've always been here. Like, it's, you know, fuck you for not seeing me. Like, and I thought, I mean, the finishing taste of an episode that gave us literally everything we asked for and just a little bit more, it just made it any imperfections that you could have possibly nitpicked before then was washed away by that last 7 minutes.
Agreed.
And I thought it was just absolutely beautiful. So
agreed.
Nathan, what did you think of seeing Qui-Gon?
Or Leia or Luke?
You know what? I thought it was great. I was not expecting to see Leia at all. When on the first episode or when they show Alderaan, I was screaming, that's Alderaan. We're going to get Leia. And I was excited to see that. And it's great. If you look back at the old lore too, I don't know if it's the old lore or not. I forgot who said it, but that Yoda thought Leia was supposed to be the one who was going to get trained.
Didn't want Luke.
And Obi-Wan wanted Luke. And when they brought her in and they showed that dynamic between her and Obi-Wan, I thought that was great. Mm-hmm. And then another part too, that when you see, this is the first time you ever see Leia ask about her father. And it was always been Luke. And you see that other dynamic too. And what this show did, it brought in so many things. And it answered so many other questions, and it made every from 4, 5, and 6 more relevant.
Yeah, definitely. Yes.
Well, and I got emotional. I got emotional when he starts describing the characteristics of both where both Padme and Anakin. You know, this you got this you got these characteristics from your mother, but you got passionate, these wonderful characteristics from your father. I was emotional. But one of the things that Disney has successfully done with the character of Leia, and they did in 7, 8, 9, is they kind of rehabilitated her. Not as a snobby princess, which I do think she came across in New Hope, and it kind of got out of it in Empire and Return of the Jedi, but it was more, it was less snobby princess and more wise, strong, powerful woman character in Star Wars that's controlling the rebellion. I think that they've shifted, they've successfully shifted that and made her this just badass fucking character. And I think that, That's a bravo on Disney for doing that.
They really do.
It's been successful.
I agree. They make Princess Leia this like awesome, strong woman princess character that not so it wasn't just given to her. She actually, you know, she this whole series has made her character develop, and outside of this series, it was crazy to see that. It was beautiful to see too. That little girl, Sue. I look forward to seeing her in other shows, but she was magnificent in this series.
That was a tough one. That was a tough one.
Jeremiah, sorry.
And that brings us to the end of our review. Now it's time in the podcast where each of the hosts provides his score on the following scale. Eddie, my Jedi brother, can you provide the scale, please?
We have to end already. I enjoy talking about this. I could go on for like another hour. 0.
Well, maybe we'll have season 2.
Or maybe like Obi-Wan against Darth Maul in the movie. I don't know. Okay, guys. So 0, the perfect show. You don't need shit to enjoy it. 1, a feel-good first cocktail. 2, a happy buzz. 3, you're gonna Uber or lifting home. 4, rough morning walk of shame. 5, blackout, shit face, spring break drunk. Gentlemen, who wants to start on this path?
I'll get us going. I have no problem.
Sean, go for it.
Okay,
no,
go
no,
ahead,
no,
Brandon.
No, Sean, you go for it. You wanted to do it.
Okay.
Okay. Sure. I'll go second.
Okay. So I'm not gonna lie, I've been a little hard on this season. I was looking at my scores that Jeremy kind of put up earlier, I had high expectations for this show. If I was gonna have to sit through 6 hours of Obi-Wan, I wanted specific things. Number one, Ewan McGregor was magnificent from start to finish. He was absolutely everything I wanted in Obi-Wan, and he slipped back into that role, and he was the best part of the prequel trilogy. He was just magnificent. Number two is I wanted redemption for Hayden Christensen, and I think I got it. I wanted a flashback, a duel or something between, you know, to see a younger Hayden Christensen and a younger Ewan McGregor. I got that. I wanted to see Qui-Gon. I wanted to see a good story. I wanted to see it give context to the series. This episode, from start to finish, and that finish was so fucking sweet. I think it encapsulated every emotion, everything you wanted as a Star Wars fan. And I'm going to go ahead and say it. I think this was the perfect Star Wars episode. I think this episode is 0. I think that this is what all Star Wars shows, listen to this Boba Fett, Book of Boba Fett, should strive to be. This episode was magnificent. It was just magnificent. So that's nice. 0 for me. Brandon?
All right. So I agree wholeheartedly with everything that we've said. I do have a little bit of a bad taste. And as far as to me, they didn't set up Luke to be the Luke that we meet in episode 4. Is that a big deal? No, not really. The thing that really bothered me, and we didn't really talk about it at all, is the Reva redemption. And I know that we're talking about this season, the show is about redemption. But I mean, the girl tracks down Luke with a hole in her belly, and goes and basically, you know, takes no mercy to Owen and to Bru. And all of a sudden, she has this flash of herself as a little girl. I didn't buy it. I thought that it was weak when this episode was so fucking strong. And so because of that, I want to give it 0. I can't give it 0, but I'm going to give it a 0.12. Because why the fuck not? It was literally what I wanted to see. But yeah, Reva, I don't want to jump on this.
Now you're just being mean and making the math hard.
I know, but
0.12, bro.
0.12.
No, I,
0.12.
I got it here. He's
being, no, I'll be Ned.
That was the Eddie score right there from last year.
0.9.5.
I'll be Nets.
Eddie, go ahead.
That's a great score, Brandon. And it's funny how you talked about that Reva moment, because I know we didn't talk about it, and it was a little awkward. It felt like it was awkward. Like they had to, like, they feel like, oh, we have to, like, wrap up this side of the story real quickly. And Reva and Owen and Luke, and just, you know, realistically, she had so much hate towards Vader, and she knew who Luke was, but didn't know. I mean, it would have been cool to you kind of do a runoff show a little bit, like her kidnapping him. I don't know, but that'd been maybe forcing it. I felt like it ruined the whole idea of what Obi-Wan was trying to keep sacred and keep, you know, secret with Luke. So I almost didn't want her to meet Luke. I wanted Luke to be gone. It would have been cool to see this Luke gone from that whole plantation and him chilling with, like, some other neighbor, like, completely.
The Tusken Raiders.
Yeah, someone, like, hang out with the Jabbas. Like, anyone. It would have been cool to hang out, like, just be gone. I feel like it tarnished the whole thing that Obi-Wan was doing so good, was keeping Luke secret from the whole world. To now, realistically, you know, I mean, it opens up the doors, but maybe they meant to do that, just maybe have a developing character. But I didn't like it. I felt like it was forced. It could have been different. But that's the only part about this episode I didn't like. I mean, I love the battle of the lightsaber. It was like 40 minutes of, half the whole episode was lightsaber battle. It was amazing. I do think the beginning and entrance of it would have been cool to see some X-Wings maybe, like, protect this battleship that's trying to find its path, and maybe have them come out, fight some TIE fighters. It would have been cool. Like, just, there's, I don't know if it's X-Wings there yet, but you do know this little tiny ship's maneuvering this battle Death Star or this ship, and it's like, okay, it would have been cool to see something different there also. But overall, with what you get with Luke and Anakin and Vader at the same time, you know, bouncing back and forth, you get so much emotion and so many different questions were answered, like how Nathan was saying. And it just brought back so many good feelings and emotions. And I can't, like, I could watch this episode more than any other episode, and mostly more than any other Star Wars movie. I enjoy watching this episode every time I put it on so far. And I don't think that will stop for a long time. I'm going to give this a 0.25. This is the best episode I give the whole series, a 0.25. I haven't given anything lower than a 0.5. So a 0.25. Jeremiah.
What this series did to me, it made me just appreciate 4, 5, and 6 with so much love. And it made me fall in love all over again with 1, 2, and 3. I think that you got one of the best episodes in any Star Wars limited series that's out there. The Vader and Obi-Wan scene is hands down one of the best lightsaber battles that you've seen of all time. For me, it was unbelievable. And whatever situations you kind of have, like these little small parts, like, oh, this part was kind of weird and this part was here, that overtakes that and completely removes everything. Ewan McGregor is one of the greatest actors, I think, in our generation. And I think he just killed it here. I think Hayden Christensen has just got a second resurgent of his career, and I think that he finally gets the redemption that he should have had a long time ago. I think this was everything you wanted in a Star Wars episode, and it was just beautiful. I was emotional. Not too many Star Wars scenes can make me cry, but that scene made me tear up. It's forever going to haunt me for the rest of my life. For that and for this series, thank you, Ewan McGregor, and thank you for just bringing this episode in. This is a zero for me. I can't say it. It's not a zero.
Nathan.
All right. So I was 3.5 years old when the original Star Wars first came out. And I still remember watching it in the movie theater at 3.5 years old. And growing up, I knew the backstory of how he became Darth Vader, that Obi-Wan and him had a fight. Anakin had a fight at some type of lava and he fell in. And that's how he got the suit. And after Episode 6, Return of Jedi came out, we went through this period of no Star Wars. Some books came out, but we didn't have anything. And when they introduced that they were going to make the prequels, I was so excited to finally get to see that battle, to finally get to see that moment. And when when that moment, that scene came, that brought tears to my eyes, even though it's a sad moment where Anakin gets burned and he's being anguished by that, but it was still that moment I wanted to see as a kid. And I never thought we would get this, what we have right now. I never thought we would get an Obi-Wan show showing Vader and Obi-Wan together again before A New Hope. And to see this now, again, it brought tears to my eyes just to see what I always wanted to see, to have that moment between them. And does a series have flaws? Yes. Does episode have flaws? Yes. But I give it a zero.
I love it.
Yes. 3-2, just so you know.
I love it.
Circle now is complete.
I mean.
All right, Jeremiah, when you take those 5 scores and you divide them by
5, yes.
What does that give episode 6 an average rating of?
Go for it, Eddie.
Okay, so it's a 0.074.
A 0.074. So obviously this is the best episode of the series, Jeremiah. Why don't we go through and tell us what all the episodes got, like where they ranked, and then let's reveal the series score.
So episode 1 got a score of 1.67. Episode 2 got a 0.875. Episode 3 got a score of 0.765. Episode 4 was the lowest score of the whole series, which is a 2.62. Episode 5 came back to 0.375. And this, officially, number 6, the last episode of Obi-Wan, at 0.07. It is the number 1 episode of Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Obi-Wan Kenobi. When you take all the episodes and you divide them, what does Obi-Wan get an average series score of?
A 1.025.
A 1.025. So clearly right now, this is the top of our list of all the TV shows that we've reviewed, as this is the only TV show that we have reviewed. But when we review something next coming up and finishing out 2022, we will actually have 3 series under our belts. Jeremiah, what's the next thing we're going to review on the podcast?
Which is going to be pretty amazing. We're not going to go with volume 1, but we're going to go with volume 2. You get 2 different Stranger Things episodes that's going to be coming out in the month of July. So that's going to be pretty fucking exciting. I already hear the music in the background.
Running up that hill. So we're going to be reviewing Stranger Things next, and then later in the year we're focusing our hearts and minds on the land of Middle Earth, and we're going to do the new offering by Amazon. From,
we're going to go and see some old friends, but not really, actually. Yeah, it's going to be the Lord of the Rings. It's going to be pretty dope, actually.
Super excited about that. Well, Nathan, we really appreciate you coming on, and you just contributed so much to this episode. And thank you so much, and thank you for educating us on what the 501st does. And we really are jealous that you're part of that, but we'll get over it. So thank you so much.
Nah, thank you so much for having me. It's been great.
So basically, anytime we're gonna have a Star Wars episode, we're gonna bring the resident expert Nathan on. So because I'd really like to, I mean, other episodes too. I'd really like to get your opinion because you're very knowledgeable and really give a lot of context to the episode. So once again, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. What you do, man.
I'd be happy to.
So
anytime.
First, thank you for everything, man.
All right, if you enjoyed our review or are a fan of the podcast, we ask you please subscribe wherever you're listening. Give us a 5-star review on iTunes. You can find us on Instagram at the.gentlemanpodcast. The dot means a lot. You can visit our website, thegentlemanpodcast.com. Or if you want to reach out to us, you could do so by email at hosts with an S, HOSTS, at thegentlemanpodcast.com. We'd love to hear if you agreed with us, disagreed with us, if you think we're batshit crazy, or if you think we're right on. So once again, thank you all for listening, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks with Stranger Things, and we're looking forward to going into the in-between. Cheers, gentlemen.
Cheers.
May the Force be with you.
Always.
That was a really great season break right there.
Is that the best one yet?
Best,
I think that's the best one.
Probably our best TV show. Yeah, best TV show as a whole.
You know who I missed, though? You know who I missed who wasn't on it? I was hoping to see someone.
Fucking Brian Cox.